We have a little bit of time to look into the Gospel of John. If you would join me in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, we'll be a little bit in chapter 15 and also a little bit in chapter 16. But we go here first as the starting point. John 14, verses 15, 16, and 17. Last week we considered an answered prayer. It was gloriously answered. It was the prayer that the thief on the cross prayed right next to Jesus as he hung there dying. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And the Lord said, you will not be forgotten. This day you will be with me in paradise. Here is another prayer that we're going to look at. That as it's recorded here, or as Jesus, this is our Lord's statement, as he says it, it hasn't been prayed yet. But we know that it will, and that it was, and that it was answered. This is John 14, beginning with verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father. You caught that. I will ask the Father. And he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. These are things that our Lord is saying about what's coming for the church, and he's trying to encourage them. We looked at this not that long ago, that their hearts are downcast because he's told them the previous chapter that he's going away, they cannot come. Oh, they're crestfallen. And he starts the work of encouraging them, building them up and telling them what's coming, and it's going to be good. Yes, he is leaving, but what's going to happen in his place is going to be even more to their benefit. And what he says is that the Spirit who has been among them and with them is going to be in them. Something's going to happen. We know the answer, don't we? What happened was it 50 days after our Lord was crucified? What do we have? Thank you. The day of Pentecost comes, and that outpoured Spirit comes upon the waiting disciples in answer to our Lord's prayer. Now, there's some encouragements in here all through this section, and we won't note all. We have not the time. But there is an amazing statement there in light of what we've just read. There in chapter 15, towards the end, verse 26, our Lord says, when the Helper comes, he looks at this as almost an accomplished event, doesn't he? When he comes. Not if he comes, and if I pray, and maybe God will answer. He's saying, now when he does, I will pray, and he will come. That's the encouragement, the conviction in which our Lord states this. Now, let this be a guide to you about promises. Let this be something that kind of guides you in your own praying, perhaps, that you know something is to be the will of God. As Jesus knew this was going to be, it was going to happen. God was going to grant this, and yet he still said, I will ask. He could not, as I read these things, it almost reads as if he could not ask just yet, because he had not finished the crucifixion. The time had not yet come upon him. He was not, in his own words, yet, he was not yet glorified. He had not been to Calvary and then been to the tomb and then been through the rolled opening, the opened portal, coming through death and mastering that. That had not happened just yet. It would. And as he rose then to the Father, then he would ask and the Spirit would be poured out. But in the face of this certainty, when he comes, our Lord says, and I will ask. And in that, he proceeds from the Father, Jesus teaches, and yet it is in answer to our Lord's supplication. What does this mean to us? Well, let me just skip to the do here with apologies. Chapter 16, verse 8. and he when he comes. Now here is an answered prayer. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And you can look at this, the outworking of that in our Lord's words at some later point, but he is saying that this will be part of the work of the Spirit, and we know this to be so when we hear bitter cries out in the midst of those assembled people. What shall we do? Brethren, what shall we do? Peter just said, you crucified the Lord of glory. God raised him up, made him a prince and a savior. You, what do we do? And just as our Lord said, so the Spirit does. He convicts the world. But what else does he do? Verse 13. Oh, he guides into all truth. When he comes, here's that assurance again. He will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. If you wonder what is the source of the prophets, what makes the prophet to speak, what makes the words of the prophet ring with truth, it's this. He is disclosing. He, not the prophet, but the Spirit is speaking to the prophet of what is to come. And this in answer to our Lord's prayer. What a glorious answered prayer. Verse 14, he will glorify me. He will take of mine. There's a statement for you. Mull that one over for a while. He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. You may have a seat of the pants understanding of that, and that's probably just fine. But it's one of those things that says, oh, think on this. You want to put the word Selah there like the psalmist would do. Pause here for a moment. Ponder this for a moment. The Spirit of God would take of Christ his exalted beauty, his glory, his power, his magnificence, his utter authority over all things. Yes, he would take of that and disclose that to the church. Yes, he would reveal it to his waiting disciples. Yes, he would make the power of Christ real in their experience. Yes, it's a lovely thought, isn't it? He will take of mine, not mine the crucified, but mine the resurrected, mine the glorified, mine the triumphant. But then he would also lead the saints into that same way, the cross, the grave, and the skies, disclosing it to you. And then, let me just backtrack a bit. You don't need to turn there with me, but let me just read this for you. Earlier in chapter 7 of John's Gospel, we find this lovely statement. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and let him drink. And he said, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. I see not a shade or a cloud of doubt right there. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But once glorified and once ascended to the Father and receiving from him whatever was his before the world began and asking of the Father this great boon, this beautiful gift for the church, he pours this out upon his waiting disciples. And what does he say? From their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I think the term is slaking their thirst forever. That's an answered prayer, isn't it? Let's pray.